Welcome back to Create Pod, a podcast about the art of podcasting. This is our roundtable discussion episode. We typically do interviews, but this is something different. Every other week, we're going to try and do a roundtable discussion on different podcast topics. My name is Mike Moody. With me is Grant Davis.
Hello.
And you can visit us and subscribe to the podcast at createpod.co. Grant, I wanted to talk to you about, marketing and growing your audience on your podcast. You've been podcasting for about a decade or so. Mm. And I know you just dropped a season of Who Pods the Watchmen, your Watchmen companion podcast.
Right. Originally started with you.
With me, yeah. I just didn't have time to finish it out. It's you and Clay.
Right.
Clay's last name is?
LaPointe.
LaPointe, right. You grew that podcast within several months from no following to, I think at your height, you're getting maybe like 15,000 downloads an episode or viewers an episode. If you count in YouTube and audio podcast downloads and streams.
You're right. Yeah, it ended up growing to be one of the biggest ventures I've personally undertaken in podcasting. So very exciting to see such growth and such engagement from an audience. And it was absolutely a learning process. You know, we've been doing podcasting, both of us, for quite some time, and figuring out how to cater to particular audiences and target them without spending money on like an outside marketing group, spending money to have other people take care of how you launch your brand. I think that that's definitely been an interest for both of us. And this was a fun one in experimentation.
Some of the strategies you use for Who Pods the Watchmen, we started doing some of these things before on our Star Trek podcast.
Yes.
Which we started a couple of years ago, Star Trek Discovery Pod, in which we talk about Star Trek. I actually did some of those strategies before that on my Mr. Robot podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what we did for those was one of the things we did was identify like people in our network who would be really interested to listen to something like that, like Star Trek fans, Mr. Robot fans. And we put together an email and just kind of emailed all of them and said, hey, this is happening. Can you show some support? Can you subscribe and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts? And we did that really before the launch. So we could just kind of get out the gate with a bunch of 5-star reviews and subscriptions. And that worked pretty well for those two, especially Star Trek Pod.
Right. Absolutely valuable. You have a network of friends that they don't have to be people that are listening to your podcast or people that are into podcasts or the subject matter that you're even discussing. You can still use them to bump up what you're doing. And, you know, I guess there's something maybe one could say about like the ethics of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're just getting a leg up in getting awareness about the existence of your show.
I think so. The point is, use people.
Yes, use your friends and make sure that they're aware that you are always happy to help support them in whatever venture they're doing.
Right, and I think the ethics are fine because what we did was really identify people in our friend network that would be interested in this content.
Right. You say, hey, we're making a Star Trek podcast.
You'd like it.
I think you guys would like it. We'd love for you to check out our first episode. And another great way you can help us is go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, give us a review.
Here's the link to it. It's easy.
Like, we map out all the steps for them, mm-hmm. and we just give them that simple call to action.
Right.
Then there's additional stuff they could also do, like if they're listening on another device, if they're listening through Stitcher
or Spotify.
Go ahead and
subscribe,
rate it. You can spread the word to other people that you think might be interested as well. Just that kickstart will raise the awareness of what you're doing at the beginning and allow you to capture the audience that you want going forward with your project.
Yeah, on Star Trek Discovery Pod, that gave us a lot of wind in our sails in terms of launching the podcast. Also, we launched on the back of the brand new Star Trek TV show that was coming out, Star mm-hmm. Trek Discovery. So a lot of people in our network were excited about that premiere. They were also excited about content surrounding that, which was our podcast. And we also launched that podcast the night Star Trek Discovery premiered on TV. Well, it's CBS All Access. It's an online show. And I think that was that really helped make the pod successful as well. We were like one of the first podcasts out the gate reviewing that show.
It is competitive. Podcasting is a competitive thing. And there are other people that have your same idea. And
not my ideas.
How you can capture your podcast and differentiate it really is integral in how successful you can be and how people will listen to your thing. For what we were aiming for, I think some people do a fantastic job with being really well-researched mm-hmm. and meticulous about all of the details. People will do deep dives. Like, in particular, we're talking about television show
right.
Podcasting. But people will know all their facts. They will do Easter eggs and, like, really do lists of all these items people want to look for.
Take an almost scholarly approach right. to it.
Academic. But our approach was that we wanted to have an immediate reaction. Immediate mm-hmm. fan reaction to the show that is pure, unfiltered, and addresses, like, just engages the audience immediately in that discussion that we know everyone's already clamoring for. People don't have the patience necessarily to wait the next day for the conversation. That's why.
Or 2 or 3 days or a week. Yeah.
That's why the forums are active, like on Reddit or wherever you're discussing particular shows or events that happen.
Yeah, we wanted to dive into that conversation really early because it's going on while the show is airing and after the TV show is airing.
And this is true if you're doing a news commentary show, if you're doing a show, anything that is reactive mm-hmm. to events in the world.
Right.
I think being there quickly to give at least some initial thoughts on something is very valuable for the audience. They want that engagement. And then you can go in later in the week and do like a secondary, like now we've had some time to sit with this and think about it. We can do a deeper dive into right. an investigation of what's going on.
Put out some more content, something that's a little more thoughtful and get more downloads.
And I've been seeing this trend has been happening mm-hmm. in lots of podcasts for the past few years now.
Multiple pods a week, multiple episodes a week. Riffing on the same thing, but with a different level of engagement from the host and the listeners, for sure.
It requires, though,
yeah.
a bit of
work.
It's a bit of a slog.
And if you're doing TV shows like us, you're reacting to TV shows. You got to record very late at mm-hmm. night because, you know.
Yeah, do late night.
After prime time.
You have to set up and collect your thoughts really quickly, make right. notes while you're
good
watching
at that.
Whatever.
You're really good at that. It's very challenging for me, I'll tell you. But the reward is typically worth it because the reaction that we get from jumping on a mic right after a TV show and talking about it, the reaction we get not only in download numbers, but from Patreon supporters, from emails, from tweets, it's really worth it.
Yeah. Another thing that I learned with Who Pods the Watchmen mm-hmm. that we had not yet been doing in Star Trek, but I'm thinking we might begin to integrate as well.
Yeah. Yeah, let's move into Who Pods the Watchmen because I know you took some of these things to another level and added more things.
I did a few things. First of all, I really tried to make a more concerted effort to garner an audience on social media. Right. And I did that primarily on Instagram, but a little bit of cross-posting to Facebook and Twitter as well.
Before you jump into it, just tell everybody what Who Pods the Watchmen is.
Oh, sure. Who Pods the Watchmen is a podcast dedicated to the discussion of the Watchmen universe. We started with the Watchmen comic, which came out in 1986, and did a dissection of each chapter of that comic week after week for 12 weeks. Which was in anticipation and build up toward the television series. I don't know if I can call it a series. It might be a mini series. It was a 9-episode first season, at least thus far, over on HBO of the Watchmen television show. And we knew right off the bat that show was going to be a real genre fan service kind of show, full of Easter eggs, full rich with dissection, rich and rife for dissection, rather. And so we are really excited to kind of get into the world, get invested with it by going through the comic first and then transitioning to doing episode by episode deep dives of the television show.
So let's talk about your launch strategy with social media. Let's start there.
Okay. So I first thought that I wanted to try and build up an audience on Instagram because Instagram allows you to just quickly and efficiently share that you're passionate about something by making your own funny posts that are related to the content of, in this case, Watchmen comic, but also to be able to boost the signal of other people's posts. Like, other people are just as into Watchmen, and they were doing really cool things. Some people have Watchmen tattoos that I wanted to share. Some people cosplay as Watchmen characters, and so I'd make an album, like, dedicated to each character and share that out. And the people that you are tagging already are excited to be, like, recognized for the work that they're doing. Their geeky dedication to the world of Watchmen, they appreciate like a boost, and that they're like, people are being redirected to their page, people that are making artwork that maybe they think is getting unseen. And as a result of doing that, I started getting a lot of people following. I made a choice of trying to follow people in similar groups. And I mean, at this point, it's still a relatively modest audience, but I think I've grown it to about like 2,000 people following on Instagram.
Yeah, it's very engaged.
Yeah,
tell you that. Yeah,
and so I'll get people liking stuff like that, and I'm not sure how well that necessarily translates to who is also interested in listening to a podcast. But I do use that platform and Twitter and Facebook to do a signal boost of, hey, we're going to be going live. We're going to be doing our episode. And that was the other big transition. It wasn't just this big social media push. And I still will always sing the praises of how beneficial Reddit is to getting your targeted audience. Reddit can be a quagmire. It can be awful in many regards. But at the same time, Reddit is a diverse community. And you can pinpoint your particular audience in how they are engaged in a particular subreddit. And you have to be careful about self-promotion there. But there are ways that you can make people aware that you are doing a podcast that they might be interested in.
How did you do that without seeming spammy?
Certain subreddits like the Watchmen one don't seem too opposed to it being a little bit more spammy, but otherwise, finding posts where people are asking for suggestions, like, who's talking about Watchmen on a podcast? What should I listen to? And putting yourself out there, being like, oh, I do one, actually, and would love to have you guys check it out. See if it's your jam. But the other big thing that we made a transition to with this podcast was doing live streaming of it. It is one thing to record a podcast and then post it up that night. But there's another level that I don't think I had recognized about doing a live YouTube stream or Twitch or Periscope or whatever platform you want.
Did you stream only to YouTube, or did you multi-stream to Facebook and Twitch?
I focused on YouTube.
Okay.
Because I wanted to have one particular avenue so everyone could go to that one link and everyone was engaged in that same community.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing started off kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was kidding. 5-10 people who are watching live. Afterwards, there would be like a couple thousand that were watching, that would go back and rewatch the episode. Or some people, I was getting a big chunk of people who would watch the audio only version, which would post also on YouTube.
Right.
And then another audience that would watch or just listen to the podcast up on the podcast stream. So I was getting different audiences, but I noticed that if I gave enough of an advance notice of when we were going to do the show, and live. And then I targeted, like, on Reddit, on my social media platforms, that as people's interest in the show began to grow and the conversation around it became a little bit more frenzied.
In the Watchmen HBO show.
Yes.
Right.
They really wanted an avenue to engage and talk with other people or listen to people talk and theorize about it.
Because a show would air on HBO or any of the HBO streaming services, and you guys would be live within an hour, hour and a half after the show aired. So the fans who are really engaged with the TV show wanted that conversation right away, and they'd find you.
Absolutely. So we went from like 5 to 10 people to like 50 people.
Right.
And then 150. And then I think we were like around 250 or 300 people on some of the episodes. And
the HBO show really hit a fever pitch with critics and fans, I think around the third or fourth episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It built to where I found that people liked not just listening, but also being able to chat with each other. Mm-hmm. Yell out their opinions to us, yell at us if they thought we got something wrong.
You're really just giving them a forum while offering content as well.
It did open the door to trolls as well. And I realized, oh, wait, I need to enlist other people to moderate this.
Oh, did you get moderated?
Yeah, I found friends and other people who I saw were respectful in the platform and would just tag them and be like, you're now moderator. Go ahead and destroy all the people that are there just to ruin the vibe for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very much a concern of like using a platform like YouTube. There are people that are toxic and trollish just for that sake.
And I think there are entire channels dedicated to taking things down on YouTube. I know there are a couple of channels on YouTube dedicated to just talking shit about the new Star Trek shows and just bringing them down. And I know that there's been reports that the people who run these channels will go and post negative comments on other channels talking positively about the new Star Trek stuff. It's the trolling is just deep on YouTube.
It is so curious how some people are operating in the YouTube platform. And yeah, they are dedicated to sowing discord one way or the other.
Yeah.
But
you say you don't really find that on Reddit very much.
No, I mean, Reddit can be just as awful, but it really depends on which subreddit you're in.
Okay.
And I found, like, at least with the Watchmen one and with Star Trek, it's primarily a very positive environment. And this is what I always advocate. If you're going to do a project like this, be passionate about it, but I don't find much merit and benefit in being just shitty about something, like just complaining and trying to do takedown pieces on.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's their bread and butter.
That's not the kind of content we've ever offered or really, I don't think we would have success with that either.
But ultimately, look at the culture of the community that you're nurturing in that case. Yeah. You're nurturing a very toxic environment, and it's hard to take and weaponize that to your benefit unless you are really savvy about it. I think that some people know how to make others love their same degree of hate of something, and they can use that. That's not for me.
Right.
And I generally want to come across as a fan of something because if you have that passion, that's relatable to a lot of people. A lot of people aren't going and searching out someone to just like trash something that they enjoyed. And the people that are seeking something that they didn't enjoy and wanting that validation, I don't know how long lasting that is.
Yeah, it seems like it would be something that would burn out pretty quickly, just being around that type of negativity. I mean, I can't speak to other people who subscribe to that type of content.
They might have huger numbers than me, though.
Well, it's not me, though. Let's talk about Patreon. I know you have supporters. We have supporters on Star Trek Pod and Patreon. I can talk about the ways that we built that up, but how important is promoting the Patreon and what makes a strong Patreon for Who Pods a Watchman?
I think Patreon is valuable, at least starting off, in relieving you of worrying about the costs of your pet project. If you can make something at least covered, have the cost covered so it's self-sufficient.
It depends on your goal, right?
Right.
If you want to just pay for hosting fees and whatever the podcast costs you to put out, but if you want to make money from it, your goals for Patreon will be different and what you do with it will be different. But what was your goal initially with Watchmen?
Initially, the goal was just like, oh, if this is a self-sustaining passion project, that's great.
Right.
Like if the community is there to support the fact that like we can continue to grow this. And I really wasn't able to capitalize on this for more than the 9 weeks that the show ran, right? I'm currently in the process of even figuring out where to go if we continue on with this project.
Because
the TV show has, at this current junction, ended, and there doesn't seem to be a second season in sight. So I took this much more as just a fun project to do and a learning opportunity for testing out some new methods of delivering a podcast, doing live streaming, all that.
Right. And I think I'm really glad you did that, because a lot of what you did for Watchmen, we're going to continue with Star Trek Pod.
Right.
We're going to do a live YouTube live, maybe even Facebook or Periscope live. And you took over the social media for the Star Trek Pod, and you're doing kind of the same thing you did for Watchmen, and you've only been doing it for less than a week, and there's already been a ton of engagement. So
yeah,
it's working.
Trying to build it up.
Yeah.
A little bit here and there.
It's good. It's working. I want to talk more about what's the future for Who Pods the Watchmen. Obviously, it's kind of a question mark because the show did end, but I did see a post on your Patreon where I believe you're asking your patrons, what do you want us to do? And you got some good responses.
Right. And I think that's, you know, when you have Patreon, one of the things that you really do want to do is provide additional content just for them. They might, I've found in the different projects that we've been doing with Patreon that you might not find that everyone is engaging, or the percentages of people that are actually engaging with the additional bonus content might be smaller than you kind of anticipate.
Right.
But that doesn't really matter so much as like the fact that there is extra content there.
It's perceived value.
Yeah, it's perceived value, and people want that for donating to you. And you will increase the amount of people that are supporting your Patreon if you are providing something exclusive to them. Doesn't really matter what it is, but I really encourage that for everyone. Like, just put something up there, and you'll find that you start increasing your numbers. People go, oh, I'm getting something for this.
Right.
But on top of that, yeah, just engaging them and asking their question. Like, these are people who know you the best of your audience. They're the people who like what you're doing, want to actually financially support you. And so, you know, ask them and respect their opinion about, like, what are they seeking from you? So I did put that out there. I said, look, we're at a crossroads. We don't know if we're getting a second season. So there may be an end to what this podcast initially was going to be. And we could certainly transition to something else where we're just talking about other concepts. We're talking about reviewing just other TV shows that are out there, or reviewing movies that come along that seem to pique our interest. We could dive in further into additional ancillary material in the Watchmen universe, or we could
pivot to another show. Or, yeah.
Right now we're in a holding pattern, is what I would refer to it as, where we're going to do deep dives into the characters and character arcs from the television show, like really focus on individual characters. And I think that will be a fun little project for a bit. While we're just waiting, I guess, still to see if that second season does come up. Right. But if it doesn't, then it will be looking at potentially making just like a lateral move with the podcast of dropping the Watchmen part from Who Pods the Watchmen and seeing if it's Who Pods blank.
Right.
And Who Pods the Mandalorian, potentially. Mm-hmm. Or Who Pods some other television
show. Blue Bloods. That comes along.
Blue Bloods? It's got to be Blue Bloods. Clay would like that. I think his mom is a big fan of that show.
What else does he watch?
British baking show or whatever he talks about all the time.
What's that show about? Wild Hogs.
Wild Hogs.
That's a movie, right?
Yeah, it's a movie. I've never seen it.
Who Pods Wild Hogs?
I might have to do that. You know that there's that podcast that was I think it was called The Worst Podcast Ever Made.
Okay.
And what they did was they reviewed the movie Grown Ups 2.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next episode, they reviewed Grown Ups 2.
Yeah.
And on, I think they did 100 episodes where they just reviewed the movie Grown Ups 2. And their movies, their reviews compounded on themselves because they were, in essence, reviewing their other reviews of the movie.
Of Grown Ups 2. Yeah.
And so it became this meta-destructive podcast that they just... They already didn't like the movie, and they just really grew to dread the project in a very fascinating, experimental way.
There's another one like that where they're reviewing Paul Blart.
Is it not them doing their second season?
Is it them? It might be them.
It might be.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah, because that's kind of in the same.
Just awful.
Awful genre. Yeah. Going forward with Star Trek Pod, we're revamping the Twitter, revamping the Instagram. We have a new logo going into the second season, because not only are we going to be covering Star Trek Discovery, the new Star Trek show on CBS All Access. There's going to be tons of other Star Trek content this year. We're doing Star Trek Picard, the new Picard show. There's going to be an animated show later. They're doing Short Treks, which are these 10 to 15 minute long episodes in the Star Trek universe. So I think we're going to have a lot to cover this year, not just like one season of television, but multiple seasons and multiple shows. So it's going to be a bigger project this year if we're all up for it. We're going to be going, we're going to have content year long. It's going to be great.
Intense.
It is intense. I wanted to ask, I don't see myself engaging very much on Facebook anymore personally or for my podcast projects.
Right.
Where are you with Facebook in terms of like, I guess maybe just personal and for podcast projects?
Personally wise, I have two daughters, so I will post pictures of them occasionally over there. I think it's good for sharing with your family. Older family members. Yeah,
older family.
Like, yeah. They like seeing that kind of stuff. I think sometimes it's interesting to kind of wade into the political discourse that's going on there, even though I find it to just be awful, right. Usually. But as far as marketing your own work, marketing your podcast, I don't generally find that I get much from Facebook anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we do have a page on there for Star Trek Pod.
Right.
You have one for Watchmen?
Mm-hmm.
You do.
And what I do is mainly just cross-post from Instagram.
Sure.
Because Instagram and Facebook are integrated. Mm-hmm. So if you share your stuff from Instagram, it'll just populate over there.
It would seem that keeping your Watchmen and our Star Trek Facebook presence alive, at least, and checking up on it every now and then would be a good thing, because Star Trek and Watchmen have been around for 30, 40, 50 years, and you have an older fan base. Facebook now is targeted towards older people. Yet a lot of the older fans are on there.
Right.
And we do see messages from fans every now and then on Star Trek Pod from Facebook and reviews. So that's good. I don't think that audience is the most engaged, but they are there.
Yeah. And just being able to have that presence on that social media platform and be able to promote yourself in those forums, I think is useful.
So I know you're a big TikTok guy. What's up with TikTok?
I've never even opened the app. As far as I know, it's just the next iteration of Vine, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what it is.
I don't know. I know that it gets massive numbers, and there's pretty much no reason we shouldn't be using it. I think this is just one of those delineations between generation where I'm like, I think maybe I'm too old for TikTok. I don't know. I have not tried
it. I think you like it. I think you do a good job on TikTok.
Could be fun.
Yeah, it could be fun.
People are pretty funny. I like looking at the TikTok videos. Other people will find the gems and they repost. Mm-hmm. So I have that appreciation level for it.
Do you keep up with the podcasting news at all? Like podnews.com or?
No.
No.
But you do.
I do. It's great. If anybody wants to keep up what's going on in the podcast space all over the world, podnews.net, sign up for their newsletter. It's awesome. You get headlines delivered to you every day, and they have a great podcast too. And they also have a great database. Like if you type in our podcast into there, they have a page for us. They have a page. It's like a directory.
Okay.
But it's a great directory. If you type in, let's just do Who Pods the Watchmen, doing this live. Into podnews.net, it brings up a profile page and a listing, and it lists everywhere that you can download the podcast. It also has a QR code that will take you to the Who Pods the Watchmen website. It's pretty great. It even has your chartable numbers that tells you how you're doing, how the podcast is doing on the podcast charts.
How are we doing? Pretty poorly at this point.
4.4 stars from 84 ratings.
Oh, right.
Let's talk about reviews.
You want to talk about reviews?
Why not? Because you do ask for reviews.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
I had asked for reviews, and I had noticed that we got like one or two reviews that were not high reviews, or they gave like a 4 or 3. And at a certain point, I got a little bitchy about it. And I was like, what kind of self-importance is this, that you feel you really have to give this review like it's an Amazon review. No one's buying my product.
Right.
This is an optional thing. And if you want to help someone, give them a 5-star review. But you don't have to give the 3 or the 4. Like
there's some people who really have to stick by their guns. And
then don't give a review.
But they want to.
Anyway.
But I see what you're getting. I'm getting at because it's a promotional tool, right?
Yeah. And it only tends to hurt, I think, when you give the lower numbers.
Right.
I don't think it gives like fair bias to it. I think it's just to someone's detriment. So I complained about that, and then I got like a couple more negative reviews as a result. So
Did they call you out saying, "Oh, this guy asked for 5-star screen.
Oh, this guy had a problem with me giving a 4-star, so now he gets a 1-star or something like someone
wonderful.
Dropped me down. I was
wonderful.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, "Oh,
great.
You sons of bitches."
Well, it's whopodswatchmen.com.
Mm-hmm.
And Star Trek Discovery Pod is going to be kicking off again. That's our Star Trek podcast.
StarTrekPod.com.
StarTrekPod.co.
Is it .co now?
It is.
Why is everything .co?
Well, we had StarTrekPod.com, and maybe this is something we should talk about too. Auto-renew your domain names, people.
Oh, we lost someone else.
It was gone for not 3 days.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have it on auto renew.
Oh.
And I went in to renew it 2 or 3 days after I got the email that it needed to be renewed, and it was gone. But it was StarTrekPod.com. You would think another Star Trek podcast would pick it up, but it goes to some Chinese site, some Chinese gambling site.
Huh.
Yeah. And I was talking to our web host, where I bought the domain originally. I was like, why is this happening? And they said it's probably a domain hub, somebody sitting on the domain and redirecting it to some spammy site, and they'll probably try to sell it to somebody for $100 or something. Huh? But you can't buy it. I can't buy it anymore because someone's sitting on it.
Right.
So StarTrekPod.co.
That's fine.
Just forget about the M. All right. I think we're good.
Cool.
Yeah. WhoPodsOfWatchmen.com, StarTrekPod.co, and thanks for listening to a roundtable or loose episode of Create Pod. Find us at createpod.co, and I think our next roundtable, we're going to have Mariah Gossett on, podcast producer, here with us at Permanent Record Studios in Austin, where we record every episode of Create Pod. And check out the feed. We have tons of great interviews with really great podcasters. We had Miranda Wiley on last week. Next week, we'll have Brian Salisbury from Junk Food Cinema. And Grant, where can people find you?
I would generally say the best place is Facebook. I just love that social media platform.
At Grant Davis on TikTok.
Yeah, just hit up my TikTok. you can find me at Baron Von Grant, probably on Instagram, on Twitter. Go to Facebook. I do have a Facebook page, the Grant Davis page. I don't check that often either. But I'll just type in my name. You'll find me.
At Mike Moody on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Do we love them?
Yeah, we love you.